Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. Dr. John Swanson has blessed our listening audience for the past 6 months with a series we titled Building Biblical End Time Perspective. And at the conclusion of that series in June, he agreed to come back with a follow-up series, and we're calling it Contemporary Eschatology. And the first two programs aired July 13th and 15th, and then the second was on August 10th and 12th. And we had planned to continue this series once a month through December, but with recent events taking place, our listening audience has expressed their desire to know more now. And with that, Dr. John's agreed to be our special guest for the entire month of September to finish out this series. So, John, welcome back, and thank you for agreeing to continue our conversation on this important topic, contemporary eschatology, during the month of September.
It's good to be back, Leslie. Say, before we get into our program today, I want to ask you this question. Do you know what my wife and I woke up to this morning?
No.
Ash on our car.
Oh, because of the fires.
Yeah, the wildfires.
The fire in the gorge.
In the area, right. Mm-hmm.
Jumped the river, even.
Even jumped, yeah. Closed a couple of the main highways eastward, so...
I have friends both in Cascade Locks and actually on the old highway right at Bridalveil. And I did get word that the ones right at Bridalveil had been evacuated at 1 o'clock this morning.
Okay.
But it was at their house.
Yeah, right. What a day.
What a day. Well, I'd like to open the program with the Word of God today to set the stage for our conversation, and specifically, John, on how our Savior has offered us, you know, such a sweet insight into how to live in these days, these end times, and also His protective counsel as to fighting the good fight, you know, in combating that very evil deception of our day by graciously giving us His Word. So I'd like to start with Psalm 1. And then I'm going to close out with just one verse from Psalm 119. So,
very good.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Here it comes, John. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And now I'll continue in Psalm 119, and it's verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, John, you know, Heart of the Savior Ministry seeks to highlight the heart of the Savior. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to move in that direction of heart in today's broadcast, if that's okay with you.
That's okay, but help me out. Give me a little bit more clarity as to the direction you'd like us to take, just so we're on the same page.
So I'm in control of the program today? Okay.
Again. No.
I know that would be nice. So let's see. Matters of the heart are a part of each and every one of our lives. And what I'm trying to get at is this. While you exude passion of the heart as you declare Bible truths tied to end times, I'd like you to address your heart in Christ Jesus as we bring today's broadcast. And here's a specific request to this more general appeal, if you'll take it. Mm-hmm. John, you know, I've known you for a very long time, but I have to ask, I've watched you for years as you have sincerely tried to seek to abide in the vine and walk in His Spirit. So what honestly drives you in these endurance ministries efforts, and what's your sincere motivation behind all this?
Okay, these are fair questions. Well, let me try to paint a true picture as best I can with the time we have.
Okay.
Number one, I am sincerely brokenhearted at all the false teaching taking place today, because God values truth. In fact, one expression of love in its definition found in 1 Corinthians 13 includes truth. Given God's glorious nature, it shouldn't surprise us that, as Scripture teaches, God is love, and one manifestation of His love is truth. Not only is He true, 1 John 5:20, He acts on truth and goes on to call his people to seek his truths forever settled in heaven. He then goes on to call us to be true as we present ourselves as living sacrifices, kind of like what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says.
Yes.
So in answer to your question as to what drives me, Leslie, I confess I am passionate and, by God's grace, most committed to his truths. When he says there will be expressed dangers in the days of the end, he means it. I wish his people would hear him on this matter of end-time deceptions because in some aspects, some cases, our eternal state is on the line. When he outlines specific lies which are heralded during the days of the end and the eternal consequences of buying into these lies, we, his people, should be attentive. But I confess, instead, I find so many Christians by name disinterested. They don't seem to care a whole lot about the significant matters expressed in culture today. So how can this be, given our generous God has been so clear, so forthright about these concerns?
Well, John, before you go on to answer my questions further, I have a related question for you. What if you are incorrect about your assessment of our today?
You know, Leslie, in our July broadcast a few months back,
mm-hmm.
you asked a similar question. You
I
asked,
did.
John, what if you end up being wrong on this matter? And the matter we were discussing at the time of your asking this question pertained to future predictions.
Yes.
We were addressing both false prophetic teachings concerning what some are saying will take place this September 23rd, later this month, and the prediction about the upcoming famine a little further in the future to our broadcast today.
I do recall this, but please go on to elaborate in the context of matters of the heart.
Okay, dear sister. As one who seeks our Lord's words on matters tied to the end of days, I so wish to be one who accurately handles God's word. Upon reflecting upon your question as to what if I'm wrong about my assessments on the future, I must confess this. I do try to differentiate between interpretations of the word from the actual content of the word. In some cases today, as we listen to presentations which claim to be bringing God's messages, the two are almost polar opposites. The interpretation being taught is in contrast to the actual counsel of the Word of God. So using the two topics we were discussing in July, one's tied to future projection, here's my follow-up response.
Okay.
My heart is moved first because of what God has said concerning no one knowing the day or the hour of his Son's return. Because no one knows the day or the hour, we know, even before the September 23rd event, that this prediction by some, namely that the rapture will most likely happen on Saturday the 23rd, we know it's a false prediction. The Word of God allows us, who take his end-time revelation seriously, he allows us insight into these matters.
You know, John, I actually forgot about the September 23rd false prediction, because I don't think about it. But how perfect we decided to use the whole month of September to address what God's Word says, don't you think?
I do, because it's so widespread. So
yeah.
It's an important contemporary concern. Well, secondly, I must confess that I've pondered your question of exhortation for now weeks and weeks, the question being, what if I'm wrong concerning upcoming events, especially famine? So what did I do in response to this fair question of yours? I went back to his word with this attitude. Lord, help me rightly handle your word. And Leslie, guess what I found?
Possibly could it be that your understanding, you know, concerning the end time matter of this upcoming great famine was correct?
Not entirely, Leslie.
Okay.
Actually, the Lord brought to mind, in the context of the explicit data of Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6, some worthy insights. For example, what is meant by, quote, and do not harm the oil and the wine, unquote. The text is not really clear, and we are left to bring possible interpretations if we choose to offer them. Another example, what if the emphasis of the first part of the voice that found in this verse, which comes from the midst of the four living creatures in the throne room of heaven concerning the denarius, what if the message was emphasizing the value of money's worth, not the availability of, in the context of Revelation 6, wheat and barley? In other words, what if the author of this passage, God, was getting at the collapse of the monetary system? That is the collapse of the dollar, yen, pound, euro, franc, peso, shekel, ruble, whatever, or whatever currency is dominant at that time. Instead of emphasizing the actual lack of food leading to famine. Well, these are fair questions.
Yes, they are.
And one's tied to this passage. There's a slight difference between these two understandings. Minor ones, yes, but these matters are definitely tied to rightly representing God's stated revelation to us.
You know, it's crucial God's people in Jesus Christ better discern the difference between the actual information of the passage being considered from that of a possible interpretation and that possible understanding than dogmatically being imposed upon the text.
Exactly, Leslie. So your great question to me, by way of confession, continues to haunt me in that as careful as I am at being one who desires to proclaim the actual explicit data of the text, I still wander into interpretive presumption at times.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, I have to thank you for modeling this need for better allowing the Word to say what it actually says. That's what you taught us in school.
Yeah.
What does the Word actually say?
Well, in so doing, at least the effort toward that end, I'm humbled by the passage which calls us to rightly divide the Word of truth.
I know what you're referring to, as this passage means a lot to, or should I say, must be crucial and foremost to pastors who were leading God's children in His truth. And the New King James translation of that 2 Timothy 2:15, it reads this way: "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth."
Amen, Leslie. Amen. Well, here's another part of the answer to your question concerning my heart's intent in these ministry efforts. Number two, God is faithful to His Word, all of it, His full counsel therein. This includes revelation concerning the things which aren't always seen as so positive. Here's an example.
Okay.
God clearly says we will all give account to Him for all aspects of our lives. Well, in light of this truth, without belittling the fact that He buries our sin in the deepest oceans, He removes it as we confess as far as the east is from the west, acknowledging this side of the coin, the other side of the coin, in light of this truth of giving account, do we really live out this counsel presented?
You know, boy, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, it scares the bejeebers out of me. But this I do believe, John. All of us can make improvements in better living out His counsel in our day-to-day lives, don't you think?
Amen, yes.
And I know I certainly can. You know, we should appreciate those who in caring ways and in ways which are consistently and accurately heralding God's truth remind us about these things.
Yeah, if we but heed Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, dear family in Christ, let's embrace that which is emphasized, the contrite attitude, the one portrayed by the sinner as opposed to the attitude of the holier-than-thou religious leader. In similar appeal, I so wish to do the Ezekiel 2 and 3 thing, Leslie. I want to discern God's call upon my life, and as I do, I want to encourage the Ezekiel 33 and 34 things.
Well, and just exactly what's that, John?
Well, in part, to especially bring to members of the family of God in Jesus Christ, not the secular world, but family members, the full counsel of God's Word. I don't say things as judgment, but as a herald under the new eternal covenant in Christ Jesus. I long to bring reminders, if you would, of what our Lord has said concerning walk with God as we abide in the vine and walk in His Holy Spirit. So if I, kind of like the Old Testament prophets of past did millennia ago, if I saw God's people compromising His counsel on important matters and said nothing, I would be at fault before God given His call upon my life. The Old Testament prophets responded to the disobedience of God's people, and the call of God upon their lives to bring God's corrective messages. So I believe, in getting back to what my heart tells me, Leslie, and in alignment and submission to the Word of God, that I must speak God's truths, which are so pertinent for today, not in a judgmental way, but in a thus says the Lord manner. If I don't speak out, I'm accountable. Blood is on my hands, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And if I speak out and we as God's people turn to His truths, we listen to them, we adjust, we repent, we turn, Praise God! The heavenly discipline through truth appeal brings, as God intends, both rebuke and correction, as in part 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 so outlines.
Well, you know, and because this is such a crucial passage for this generation, which seems to belittle the absolutely essential quality of loving God through obedience as we live our lives in our Savior's empowering, I need to quote that passage.
Sweet, okay? Do so.
So it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Dear younger brothers and sisters in Christ who are listening to the program today, to know and to love God, that is to rightly walk in relationship with God, is to include grace-based obedience to Him. Read your Bibles, dear young people. Read and heed, for example, John 14 and 15.
Well, you know, John, we older saints also need to heed this counsel, don't you think?
Amen, amen.
Okay. Oh, I hate to say I'm getting older, but that's all right. You know, once again, our time is almost up. I just hate how quickly our time flies. But give us one final insight as to why, as your heart moves you, you bring the appeals you do in the context of campus work through Missions Door and in the setting of general public and church ministry through Endurance Ministries.
Well, this third expression of heart is also important, Leslie, so here goes. Number three, as the Word of God says, God is glorified in our joyful walk of heeding His counsel as we enjoy a relationship with Him. So here's my point. Here's my heart in this. The first two reasons which we just talked about as to why we minister as we do are these. Number one, we do so for our, that is, humanity's protection against the end-time deceptions of our day. And number two, we do so for our experience on the day of giving an account. Will it be a sweet experience or will it be a bitter one? These first two reasons are both related to the benefits we will graciously enjoy. But this third motivation of heart is tied not to horizontal relationships with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, including sincere tough love expressions with their best interests in mind, but it's tied to our vertical relationship with God, fruit unto God's glory and praise as we are about living for Him. Don't forget, as we live, Galatians 2:20, yet not I, but Christ lives in me.
Yes.
We, as Romans 12 also states, we're living sacrifices for His higher purposes. So while it's great to bless fellow mankind, it's also a blessing to honor and glorify the darling of heaven by fearing Him and keeping His commandments.
Amen.
So it is tied to the great commandments of loving God first and loving mankind, as He so clearly outlines and states time and time again throughout His Word. 1 John 5, verses 1 through 5 included. Horizontal relationships are good and important, but the vertical relationship with God Most High is the most important one. Let's glorify God in and through our lives, obey Him, and in so doing, love our fellow mankind.
You know, John, this has been a very different broadcast today. And I thank you for being, you know, so transparent with us in sharing your heart's passion and some of the reasons why you minister as you do. I know it's tough to speak the truth. Even truth in love, it's hard to do, but we must. We are called to do that. I want no one left behind to say, I never heard, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, in light of these end-time passions, what's immediately ahead in the next week's broadcast?
Well, before I address that, you right on. You know, when I was talking with some cult members who deny the divinity of Christ just last week, it was sad, but I had to remind them. I felt the Spirit of God prompting me to say, I'm doing this out of tough love for you. I'm actually judging the watchtower, not you, but don't embrace the false teachings that are found therein. And it was tough love, but it was hard for them to receive it. So anyway, yeah. Well, Lord willing, concerning the content of next week's broadcast, the highlighting of current cultural affairs which are addressed in God's words, things that our Lord Jesus said would indeed take place before His initial appearing as outlined in Matthew 24:30 and Revelation 6 verses 14 through 17 are some of the things we're going to talk about, Lord willing, next week.
Perfect. And, you know, everyone, I suggest you read these two passages to prepare yourselves for our next time together with Dr. John. And that's going to be on Thursday, September 14th at 2 p.m. on KBDQ FM 93.9. And then it will repeat on Saturday the 16th at 10:30 a.m. on KBDQ AM 800. And that's Matthew 24:30 and Revelation 6, 14 through 17. So, John, I want to personally thank you for giving us so much of your precious time by providing us with good, godly wisdom to face these coming days. And, you know, I love the word endure. Mm. And, you know, it means to withstand, to experience, to bear, to stomach, to stand, brave. I love all of that. And I've heard your true heart's passion for God's children today, to endure, to stand. And I just realized I didn't have a pop quiz from you today. Man, I made it through a program without a pop quiz.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, for those of you who'd like to know more, you can access Dr. Swanson's website, which has multiple resources and a blog where he answers questions and concerns sent to him. And that blog is on currentmatters.org. Or if you wish to discern the difference between truth and falsehood, first, go to the Word of God, and then you can go to their websites for online documents which quote the Word of God on end time matters. So, for example, it's endmin, that's endmin.org, and you'll find truth as God's Word is presented, or truthfoundations.com, and you'll find an important Bible illustration from Matthew 27, and it's posted on John's concern page. And they can get your book, The Final Trumpet Rapture?
Yes, by just simply emailing us at email@nmin.org, and then we'll send some ordering details.
Yeah. So I have a pop quiz for you, John.
Okay.
Could you close us in prayer for our listeners, based on what we've talked about today?
I'd be honored to. Father God, as the wildfires in our areas rage, as we record this broadcast, we are reminded of the pain and sorrow that comes with being burned. Lord, you love us so that you sent your Son, whereby we can miss the eternal grief of the lake of fire burns, if we would but say yes to your Son. Oh, Lord, help each and every one of us say yes to you. And, Father, thank you for your revelation to us. Please move it from our heads to our hearts, whereby we're doers of your word and not hearers only. Help us both to will and to do your good pleasure as we rely on your Holy Spirit within us. In this worthy perspective, Lord, may the lost hear your good news. May those of us who have responded to it by faith walk with you day by day. And Lord, may you be glorified, honored, and praised in all of this. In Christ Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you.
John, thank you for your tough love for God's people. I know it's a challenge at times, given some take offense at your appeals, but because they are pressing Bible truths, you endure in this assignment. So thank you, by God's grace, being a faithful ambassador of His, on His behalf. And I love where this series is going. And, you know, we set the goals to further evidence God's accurate prophetic word, to make appeal for present day application of His word, to be His salt and light, His ambassadors during these days, filled with great gospel and discipleship opportunities, and to glorify our soon coming King, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I can't wait for next week. Well, folks, it's just amazing how quickly time goes here in the studio. But Dr. John will be returning next week, and we'll continue this discussion with part four. Don't miss it. So as for now, as we come to a close today, we hope that you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of His Holy Spirit. And this is the crucial part. And that you will make God's word the every breath that you take this week. So as always, in His service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson of Heart of the Savior Ministries and my guest and friend and co-laborer for Christ, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.